you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, October 31st, 2018. You were making those sounds a moment ago, and I don't know if everyone caught that Facebook post of you in the, was it a gorilla outfit or something?
Oh, yeah, trunk or treat. Trunk or treat in downtown Mahomet.
Yeah, it was classic, but you were making some good sounds.
It was a crazy night. What did they come? 1,100 to 1,200 kids in 2 hours came through there.
And that was downtown Mahomet?
Downtown Mahomet on last Friday night. And so for 2 hours, they the cars pull in and they open up and you decorate the trunks and we do that. And I think we had, I don't know, how big are those plastic tubs that you get? The kind of like the basic size. They're the ones that are like $5, you know what I mean? I don't know if those are 10 gallons or 20 gallons.
Yeah, let's see, if I put gallons, at least, at least 10, because if you got 4 to 6 gallons of milk, and then you would have too high.
Yeah, so if they're 10 gallons, but I think they're more than 10 gallons for some reason, but whatever, we probably had 75 or 80 pounds of candy we gave away.
Wow.
It was crazy, but it's great. It's great. Great, great, great. I love it. I love the kids. I love when they walk up and, you're trying to guess what her costume is. And, kids are always like, what are you, a dinosaur? And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, rawr, and they just get excited because they want to be, because that's really what they want to do. They wanted to be a dinosaur for that time.
Right,
and so
right.
You validate that. And I love it.
Yeah. Well, tonight, I think in Champaign, it's 6 to 8 p.m. Different towns, they posted the hours that they're open. And last night, as I was coming home from the tower, it was like 7:30. It was almost pitch black out. So I'm thinking they should have done it like 5 to 7 or I don't know. I think it's 6 to 8. I don't know. But
we don't last that long. We go out and I think we make it 2 blocks and the kids are like, oh, my legs hurt. We get up to the house and they're like, will you walk up to the door? We'll stay here on the sidewalk. And I'm like, that's really not how it works.
Well, I grew up, we'd get pillowcases.
Oh, man.
That way you could hold as much as you could and you'd fill it and you'd go as many times as you could to as many houses.
Well, that's what I was talking about with a couple of the parents at Trunk or Treat. I said, because the kids were like, it's been 2 hours. And I'm like, well, we would just go. I mean, I remember the police officer would drive around our town with small 750, 800 people when we lived in Huntley. But they would drive around at that 8:30 with the police lights on going through the neighborhoods, and that was a sign, get off the streets, trick-or-treating's done, because we just go until nobody told us that we couldn't go. We didn't care.
So I think some people will be out trick-or-treating tonight, so drive carefully, especially as it gets dark, and I think I'm going to take Esther around some of the areas.
You know what I think? There's some people who have come to me, and this inevitably happens every year. So I braced for it this year. It happened just as it always happens. People email me, they call me, they come and talk to me, and they're like, well, what do we do about Halloween? What do we do about the day of darkness? And I go, well, I think that Jesus would say in the day of darkness, you go out and you be salt and light. And so in God's providence, because nothing escapes the view of God, nothing escapes his plans, his purposes, his promises, there's been this way that's been created for you to open up your door and to bless people, and at the same time for you to go out into your community with your kids. Look, you get an opportunity to go up to the doors of people who you would normally never get the person whose house you're always like, I don't know about that person. You get to go out there and your kids knock on the door and then you get to say, hey, how you doing? My name's Jason. You have an awesome opportunity to get to know all of your neighbors and they give you candy.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm thinking this is like a win.
Yeah.
This is like a win-win. 364 other days of the year, I could knock on my neighbor's door and they don't go, hey, here's a Snickers bar.
That's right.
On this day, they do. And so, when people say, well, what do I do with Halloween? I say, you embrace the redemptive value of Halloween. You embrace the fact that you get to open your door and you get to bless people. You know, it's funny because one of the things that I'm really adamant about, and I want to be careful, nobody thinks I'm tooting my own horn, but Trunk or Treat, I give the kids the candy. And the kids will say, it happens every year and I love it, because this is my secret mission when we're there, is I'll give them the candy. And inevitably, you'll get through a couple kids, but there'll always be one kid who goes, thank you. And I always make it a point to say, thank you so much for saying thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then guaranteed, the next kid says thank you. Thank you so much for saying thank you, because my secret mission is to create thankfulness. My secret mission is to teach kids and validate them that saying thank you is a good thing to do. You know, some people will say, yeah, but you know, it's a day of darkness, it's the devil's holiday, whatever it is. Listen, you can open up your door and you can use it as a place of ministry, if not to do anything, but that when a kid says thank you, when you put candy in his bag, you validate that by saying, thank you so much for saying thank you. Thank you is such a great thing to say when you're blessed, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you can create, it doesn't, listen, every moment of ministry doesn't have to be a 45-minute sermon. It can be 35 seconds with a kid while you put some Reese's peanut butter cups in a bag for him, or going up to the door and being a blessing to people. So you can use this opportunity to be salt and light. Listen, as Christians, I think that's what we're called to do, is to go out and redeem things that seem dark, that might seem sinister. I mean, as long as it's not asking you particularly to partake in sin, go on out and be salt and light.
Well, I think you were saying earlier off air, like when that little child is maybe dressed as a dinosaur and you encourage them in their costume or something, and then they go, rawr, you know, and you just play with them a little or encourage them or validate them as, hey, that's a really neat costume.
Right. And there's playful ways, even when they're scary. So, you know, the Trunk or Treat, 1,100 kids, there was all kinds of costumes, scary costumes, funny costumes, cute costumes, all kinds. And so when a kid would come up and he, you know, what are you? I'm a skeleton. I would take the Snicker bar and like poke it in his chest between the ribs on his thing, and I'd go, buddy, you need to eat. You know, because you can be playful and you can have fun and you can let them see, and almost inevitably all those kids would start to giggle or that, because you can be playful. Listen, bring the joy of the Lord with you to your ministry. You don't have to open the door and go, oh my, it's a witch. What do we do? Honey, we must pray the prayer of the saints over this young child. You don't have to do that. Open the door and go, oh my gosh, it's the wicked witch. But you know what? I mean, there's ways to engage people in those moments. How about this? What are you? I'm a witch. No, you're not. What's your name?
Yeah.
Oh, my name's Alice.
Or are you the sweet witch from The Wizard of Oz? You know, turn it into...
Well, one year a girl did that. One year a girl said, I'm a witch. You know, I'm a scary witch or something. And I go, no, you're not. What's your name? She goes, my name's Alice. I said, you know what, Alice? I bet you're a princess.
Mm.
You know, and all of a sudden, you can take a moment and turn it. Yeah. But if you're so kind of entrenched in your thing where you're like, you know, oh, gosh, don't do that. I've got a lot of people who've told me, you know, we just don't even turn on our lights for Halloween. We don't want them even coming to the door. We don't want to support this. Well, listen, it might look like you're supporting something as you're redeeming it. It might look like that because you're invested and involved in it. I think when Paul was at the Areopagus or he was at the marketplace and he was ministering, there might be some people who were like, hey, Paul, why are you at the marketplace? That's a bad place to be, you know. Are you supporting the marketplace by being... He was there redeeming it, but there may be a place while you're redeeming that it looks like you're supporting it. Look, we're always on this kind of secret mission that Jesus sends us on. We're like Navy SEALs dropped behind enemy lines who are doing the work of God, being salt and light in places that appear to be very dark. And it's sometimes people might think that we're partaking in whatever that is, but we're not. I know a guy, and then I'll get off my soapbox. I know a guy who told me, he said, I really felt called. I struggled with alcoholism, and I really felt called to do ministry to people, and I would go to these bars and do ministry. And he said, the more I became a Christian, the more I was attending church and doing those things, the more my Christian brothers and sisters were giving me trouble because I was going to the bar and ministering to these people. Because they said, there's no way you can go to that bar and not feel tempted to drink. And he goes, really? You're defining the strength of the Lord in my life? Like, I can go there, and I can meet those people there, and why are you so fearful? Give that fear over to Christ and understand that His strength and His Spirit can lead and guide me triumphantly in this, because He's called me to be there. And so we need to, in some way, shape, or form, stop trying to be so scared of everything. And so, you know, I mean, oh gosh, I don't know. Those kids in those costumes, they don't scare me. You know what scares me? What scares me is that I would lock my door and turn off my light and turn my back on an opportunity where I can meet people where they're at and where I can love them. That scares me because there will be people who will walk down my block And they'll go to all the other homes that are non-Christian homes, and they'll leave my block feeling like it's okay to be scary, evil, mean, and all those things. And you're not going to get by my house feeling that way. We're going to love you. We're going to, you know, we got 30 seconds, and I'm going to use those the best I can.
Well, I think of two things, that be in the world and not of the world.
Yeah.
And you're making it or turning it into a redemptive moment, because those kids, they know the houses that turn off the lights. Yeah, those are those mean people. And those are the, like the Christians that are trying to represent Christ's love. And yet you're getting known as, oh, they're cheaper, they don't turn on the lights. And so we're not saying endorse the evil part of what some people would say is Halloween's all about. We're not saying endorse that, but redeem it. Don't attack it,
redeem it.
Yeah, the other thing I was thinking of as you were talking is people could say that about Jesus turning the water into wine at the party. And I've had some conversations with people, and, well, it was non-alcoholic wine, or it was like, well, I don't know. The person said, why'd you save the choice wine till the end? And I know there's people that struggle with alcoholism, and so that could be more of an issue. Mm-hmm. Why would Jesus create alcoholic beverages? And, you know, you could go into
because
a whole
alcoholic,
thing.
Because alcoholic, gosh, this is like a rabbit trail, right?
Yeah.
Because alcoholic beverages.
I wanted to get you back on the soapbox.
Well, yeah, this is how to win friends and influence people, right? Alcoholic beverages are not sinful. There's going to be some people who hear that and going to be angry that I just said that. Alcoholic beverages are not sinful. What we do with alcoholic beverages are sinful. Sex is not sinful. What we do with sex is sinful. Food is not sinful, but what we do with food can lead towards sin. And so Jesus turned water into wine. Nobody in that text goes, oh, well, it's just grape juice. Thanks. I mean, there wasn't this first century, like, all of a sudden, that's where the Welch's sparkling wine that I give my kids on New Year's Eve, because we don't drink. And we don't drink because we think that alcohol is bad. We don't drink because my mother's an alcoholic, and I know that's in my family, and the Bible tells me to be watchful. The Bible tells me to understand where your weaknesses may be and to avoid them. So that's the reason why we don't drink. It has nothing to do with if it's evil or if it's not evil. It's knowing my own weak, knowing the evil in my own heart. Oh, there's my wife. She said, the evil in his own heart, I should text him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I affirm that. No. Yeah. I don't know where we were. But yeah. Don't attack it. Redeem it. Be a part of God's redemptive work in the world. And what's it going to cost you? $10 in candy. Yeah. Listen. It's the cheapest ministry you'll ever do.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, too, with Esther and I going out tonight, we're going to get to meet some of our neighbors in the Champaign area. And, you know, for 28-something years out in the White Heath home, we've never had a single trick-or-treater. So it's kind of going to be interesting to meet people and see others that trick-or-treat and get to know neighbors and get to meet people. And there's actually a neighbor across the way that he does something with music. And he said last year or something, he had over 200 kids come to his doorway.
Oh, wow.
And he said he does it really up, and he gets to meet the kids and he gets to encourage them kind of the same way. And I don't know his faith story yet. He did say something about his church, so I think he's a church attender. We've only talked a couple times now, but he looks at it as an opportunity because he loves on kids, and he even puts up some swing sets in his yard for the neighbor kids to come, and anyone that has a dog, he has this place, this bench where he sits, and then he gives all the dogs these treats. He has a real interesting ministry to people around the area. So, yeah, seize the moment. Take the opportunity to let the light of Christ shine through you. Yes, even on this holiday, there's many moments that you can turn it into a positive experience for the kids or for their parents, or just to love on people, to interject some humor or some love, or even if they have that scary costume. I liked what Jason was just sharing, like, oh, you're not a witch. I bet you're a little angel behind that, you know, outfit that you have on, or something, to just encourage them, to get them thinking. And then to get them to say, why are you so friendly? Or why are you so wonderful? Why are you giving out those big deluxe supersize candies and not the cheap little things? You know, so maybe spend a few extra dollars and see if God would turn that into a divine appointment for you.
Yeah, Babylon Bee, if anybody follows that, it's like a satirical Christian site. And they just put satire out there. And they had a poster that you could print out of how to have a godly Halloween. And it's all sarcasm, so you got to read this as sarcasm. Some of you would be like, oh, I totally support that. No, they're being sarcastic. They're poking you. Give Chick Tracks instead of candy, because there's no sweeter gift than salvation. Wear a Revelation costume. Want to scare kids? Give them biblical-level PTSD. Just pretend it's harvest season, because nothing says fun like leaves. I like this one. Install the Tesla lightning cross in your front yard that'll shock the kids when they walk in. Yeah, and then the last one is just kind of, there's a bunch of them, but the last one says, just spend the next 24 hours locked in your basement watching VeggieTales. It'll all be over soon.
Yeah.
You know, so, listen, it's Halloween. You can't get around it, but you can be a redemptive force in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And so do that. That's what Jesus did. I was impressed upon this morning reading out of Luke, where it says, you know, that we have the three stories. We have the lost coin, the lost sheep, and we have the lost son. But in the first story, the section is kicked off by, it says, and Jesus was teaching, and around him were the prostitutes and the sinners. He wasn't locked in a room staying away from the bad people or the bad things. He had them crowded around him. In fact, it says they're around him, and then in the peripheral are the religious people. Jesus drew the people who were most drawn to darkness and sin towards him, mm-hmm. so that they could experience the light. Mm-hmm. And we ought to, too. Is that scary? Gosh darn it, it sure is. But you know what? That's why the Bible says that with the Spirit, walking in the fear of the Lord, we don't fear man. Mm-hmm. Walking in the power of the Spirit, we don't fear what the world can do to us. And so, yes, it's scary. That's why we need him to be able to do it.
Hey, this might go well with today. This was actually yesterday's scripture verse, as I mentioned. Since mm-hmm. the return from the trip to Israel, I've taken off my news feeds off my phone, and I get a verse every day, and I look at it like a dozen more times than I used to look at the scripture verses. Mm-hmm. But yesterday's scripture verse was Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that really fit well with what happened at that synagogue in Pennsylvania. Mm. And I saw a couple clips of how the rabbi, I don't know if it was the rabbi of that synagogue or a local rabbi, but where he was trying to share that God oftentimes does bring good out of these things. I mm-hmm. mean, he kind of flipped it. I think the CNN person was trying to trap him, like, this is Trump's fault. They were trying to whip him into saying something. And he said, you know what? God is a good God, and even when these evil things happen, good can come out of it. And he really was not answering what I think she wanted him to say. He was right. saying, yeah, we can understand some of these things, but let's overcome the evil with good. That was kind of his theme, and I was like, gosh, that's Romans 12:21.
Yeah, and see, it's difficult because the Bible tells us that faith will look like foolishness to the world, to those who are perishing. And that what we experience is something that is not common. It's uncommon. I had somebody recently tell me, they said, well, the common sense approach to this is. And I said, yes, but we don't deal with things in common sense ways because we have an uncommon, unpredictable spirit within us, which allows us to do things that transcend categories. You know, speaking about the synagogue shooting, I read a clipping the other day, yesterday maybe it was even, that the doctors who worked on saving the man who did the shooting were Jewish doctors.
Yeah, yeah.
The two surgeons who saved his life were Jewish surgeons. And when they interviewed those guys, they said, well, what were you thinking? The guy said, we had to lay aside our personal feelings and we had to focus on what we've been called to do. Mm. So there's this higher calling. To where, you know, listen, I've got to lay aside, and we need to lay aside our hate. We need to lay aside, listen, we hate evil. We hate evil. Why? Because we love good so much, and we love good as defined by Christ. So we hate evil. But we have to be careful that our hatred of evil doesn't cause us to huddle into places where we don't interact with evil at all. And I'm not saying interact it where we support it or that, but sometimes you have to be in the midst of where, I think I've already said this, but you have to be in the midst of where it's the most darkest to shine light in there, mm-hmm. to allow people to see evilness, to point out where evil exists. You know, because if not, we become uncomfortable bedfellows with evil. We really do. We can have it be a part of our lives, and we can just turn a blind eye to it. And that becomes very, very easy. we were studying at BSF this week, First Samuel chapter 1, 2, and 3. And in First Samuel, you have this amazing story about this priest. Well, the priesthood in Israel is headed south, but you have this great story about Eli the priest. You have two competing stories actually happening in the text. You have the story of Hannah and Samuel, and then you have the story of Eli the priest and his wicked sons. And Eli the priest, he knows what his sons are doing. They're not taking the Lord's offering properly, you know, the burnt offering when it comes out of the pot. They're taking the meat raw, and then some scholars believe selling it for their own gain or using it and seasoning it a certain way so that they have the choicest of the cuts of meat.
And weren't they also sleeping with some of the...
Yeah, and they brought sexual immorality into the temple. You know, it's really fascinating. I was thinking about this. It's the same things that Eli's sons were doing back in 1 Samuel are the same things that Jesus comes and tells his church in Revelation that they're doing wrong. You know, sexual immorality, idolatry, eating foods that have been improperly sacrificed or sacrificed to idols. And so you have all this, and you have in the midst of it, you have Eli, who's the priest. He's the head priest, and he knows his sons are doing it. In fact, in chapter 2, an unnamed prophet, the man of God, comes and makes a pronouncement over Eli and his house because of the sins that his sons are committing. And Eli doesn't do anything about it. He just kind of stays there, just kind of neutral. Another connection to the book of Revelation, the church at Laodicea is lukewarm. It's neither hot nor is it cold. Eli was neither hot nor cold. He was lukewarm. And he just stood there and watched as the world kind of spun out of control. And instead of being God's man, he became a dead man walking. In fact, I was really, I couldn't even sleep last night because after reading this, I was just so blown away by it. But it says in chapter 3, At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so he could not see, was lying down in his own place, and the lamp of the Lord had not gone out yet. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And so what's happening in here? Well, I don't think that it was Samuel's eyesight had gone. I think his spiritual eyesight was going out.
Wait, it's not Samuel.
Eli's. Oh. I think what was happening here is Eli's spiritual eyesight. He wasn't seeing God anymore. And what does it say? He laid down in his own place, a place of his own making. But it says right in the middle there, sandwiched between him and Samuel, the lamp of God had not gone out yet. God was looking for somebody who would be salt and light in the world. And so what happens? He looks to Samuel. And where is Samuel sleeping? Right next to the presence of God. Right next to the ark of God. So you have Eli, who is such a great picture of what so many of us do. We just are asleep at the wheel, watching what happens. And by the way, isn't that the sin of our first father, Adam, standing next to the tree while the serpent tempts Eve? And like, oh, no, what happened? Oh, an apple? I'm hungry.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so we can't do that. And we can't become so comfortable with evil that we fall asleep at the wheel while evil is happening around us. We need to be light and shine light in there. Or else, you know, what the bad news of 1 Samuel is that the Lord says to Samuel, there'll be no sacrifice that you can offer that can atone for the sin that you've committed. I love it, says this. There's no sacrifice you can offer.
Yeah.
But God offered a sacrifice in Christ that erased the sins of Eli and his sons and redeemed them. And that's good news for all of us. And you get to carry that message of the fact that these people who are walking in darkness cannot atone for their own sins. These people walking in evil cannot atone for their own sins. There's nothing they can do to change their current condition. But you carry the message that can. The message of Christ and his freedom. And so, friends, come on. Be salt and light.
And know that you can overcome evil with that good news message, the message of Jesus proclaiming the good news that he came to redeem all of us, no matter how dark and deep into sin we have been or are in, that he can bring light and hope and that redemptive message, the message that he died for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
He took the steps. He made the initiative, and he calls all of us to draw near to him. And he desires that relationship, a relationship with a heavenly Father that is loving, that is proper, that is perfect, and he cares for you.
Mm.
All right, everyone. Well, it's Halloween, but let's let's redeem this day.
Yeah.
Let's give out some good chocolates or candies or meet some of our neighbors. Maybe don't even just go up to the neighbor's house. Maybe you don't have to be in a costume and just say, hi, hey, thanks for caring for my kids or providing these goodies for the children in the area, and make it a safe night, a good night, and a redemptive night. All right, everyone, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.